This is a HeadGum Podcast.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
I was in the sort of rumpus room with the Bush's Big Bean Dog, the role that beautiful bean footage.
Bush's Big Bean Dog.
Dog and Diane von Furstenberg.
Mm.
And we're drawing, we're playing the game where you draw. So you, like, I would draw a line. We have a folded piece of paper. I would draw a line, then I fold it and I hand it to you and you do a shape and then you pass it.
Exquisite corpse.
Exquisite, yes. And we've been doing it for 8 or 9 hours, and no matter what shape I draw, when we unfold the paper, it's Slenderman. And and it's happening, and he's getting bigger and bigger and looking like he's coming off the page as we're doing it. And it's starting to make me nervous, and I'm turning to the dog, and I say,
Duke.
I'm saying, Duke. Are you nervous at all? And he's saying, roll that beautiful bean footage, which I think is all he learned. Mm-hmm. And then I'm turning to Diane, and she, I don't understand. This isn't like a, I cannot understand what she says. I hope that's not offensive to say.
I don't think it is.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I can't understand her. But of course, we can't stop either. Like, I just go like, well, let's not draw it again. And then suddenly my hands of their own accord are starting to draw it. And the paper is getting so large now that it's actually the entire room. It's like the wall is all Slenderman. It's coming at me.
It's like a big computer paper now.
Yes, yes, exactly. And in many ways, I'm still in that room. But So what were you doing the show, or are we doing a podcast?
Yes, we were going to do the show. Yes.
Yes.
This is Hollywood Handbook. It's an insider's guide to kicking butt. And dropping names in the red carpet line by callers
industry.
Of this industry we call showbiz.
Showbiz.
300. What do we think when we hear this?
Gerard Butler episode.
This is Spartacus.
This is our Gerard Butler episode.
Yes. We think of those guys, and he kicks the guy. But in this case, it is the podcast, and we did
Gerard Butler's muscles amount of shows of the episodes.
And perhaps you read the article this week about how difficult it is to do podcasts. Did you read this?
Oh, am I supposed to go?
Oh, sorry.
No, I didn't know.
It would have been
actually great if you had been going.
I mean, I had a lot of this point, it would have been nice.
But
no, I had a lot of great riffs.
Shit to get in there? Oh, that would have been so good.
I had some Furstenberg bombs for that ass, but I didn't know.
I saw you covering your mouth with both hands.
I have just
gnawing on your fist.
Well, you guys know. I mean, I'm sure this is because you invited me on. You guys know that I did an hour special on Bush's Baked Beans, right?
Yes.
Yeah, good is what it was called. Yeah. So I did. I was holding back because I assumed you were queuing me up. This is morning radio, yes?
I'm always setting you up. It is morning radio.
Oh, great.
But it is also podcasts, isn't it?
Yeah. What is the difference between podcast and radio now, right?
Oh, thank soundboard. You. Yeah.
Let me just tell you, I have a deaf parent. Both my parents are deaf, but one is dead, so he's not deaf anymore. He can hear me in heaven.
He can. Okay.
Isn't that beautiful?
That's really nice.
Wow. But I haven't thought about that. Wow.
You haven't thought about my dad's deaf in a while, right? I think so. No, he loves the podcast.
What?
Yes. No, he loves it. He loves Hollywood.
Finally, I can hear podcasts. That's what all deaf people look forward to about heaven.
Yeah.
I've died and listened to cereal.
It's harp music. Finally, they can hear harp music, which is the first thing that you get when you get to heaven.
You get that right away.
And then second, you get, there's all these chambers in heaven. Have you guys read Dante's Inferno?
I've skimmed
it. The Dan Brown one, yes.
Yeah, the Dan Brown Dante's Inferno.
I skimmed it.
So there's like different layers of heaven and hell. And so there's like an earwolf station.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. There's
you sort of walk in, you open the door and walk in.
And then you can just select and there's...
And it's current shows or is it all dead shows? Like, is it only like Glitter in the Garbage and like Hard Nation and stuff like that?
Oh, do the podcasts die in
Mike Detector?
Yeah.
When we stop doing this show in 2 weeks, this podcast would be available in Dante's Inferno.
That's right. But actually, it's not just dead ones, but like, for example, you said Serial. Serial season one... Isn't there, but season two, a little bit of a dip. So it's up there.
You can only, for Serial, that is a mortal blow.
Yeah, it was a bit of a dip. So unfortunately, it's not perfect. Anyway, my dad loves this show. And I do remember where I was going with this.
The deaf thing, yeah.
But I'm pulling back. I'm not going to give it to you.
Okay.
Oh. Even though I remember for sure why I brought that up.
He's going to ease it out, not give us the whole thing just yet.
At some point, it'll get teased out, though.
The dog just turned a lamp on with his head.
A little dark in here, though.
Yeah.
Feel a little dark.
And that's kind of sort of the magic that has been happening on this show for 300 years.
Mm. Oh, you guys do an episode a year?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Well, that does make sense because... I was your guest on the show 1 year ago, so you haven't done an episode.
No, this
since.
Is the next one.
Oh, wow.
The next
one, that's so cool. What an honor, honestly.
And we do want to talk about this episode that you did, but I also want to talk about the article. And there was an article about podcasts that came out this week, and they didn't talk to us about it, but it was basically saying this thing that we've been saying for a long time, which is doing a podcast is the hardest thing you can do.
Well, the article itself was someone with the... unimaginable hubris to believe that they could start a podcast.
Oh, right. It was a person who was like upset that they didn't start monetizing their brand immediately.
Right. They did six and didn't get any traction.
That's a bummer.
And some people were clowning on them. Is that right or wrong? But what came out of the discussion of that was the fact that it's actually the hardest thing you can do to make a podcast, and that it fucking sucks, and it is like prison labor, basically.
Mm-hmm. You know what else
it's
is
like
hard?
Physically taxing.
You know what else is hard is being deaf. Now, I have deaf parents, and earlier,
well,
one has God's ears, and one has bad ears. And the one that has bad ears, someone earlier did a riff about what's the difference between radio and podcast. This is where I was going with
it. Oh, yes.
I'm going to tell you where I was going with it, and it's not worth it. It's not worth me bringing back up, but because I remembered.
And this
I
think is the real difference the time, between radio and podcasts is in the podcast, this will be edited out. Radio, you'd have to live with the whole riff.
That's fair, yeah. I wouldn't assume you're going to edit this out before you hear the anecdote, though, because it's going to blow
you
your mind.
You said, what's the difference between radio and podcast? I said soundboards. Right. I got a laugh blast from Jordan. Nothing from the rest of the room.
Can't believe we blew by that one.
Yeah, showing what deafness is like.
Right. Oh, some people are deaf to
out
your
of respect
riff,
to Moshe's parent.
Parent. Yeah. Thank you for not pluralizing
that. Okay, and
that.
You were going
to
do...
I was going to say that it's difficult for me to explain to my mom what a podcast is, because you know,
where
she knows
what
radio
start?
She knows what radio is because of cultural historical context, but then trying to like tease out like the new landscape of media and say that, well, it's like radio, but
can I tell you something?
It's just hard.
My parents are not deaf.
No
and
way.
It's still hard to explain to them what a podcast is.
It's almost like they don't want to have the conversation at all.
Or that even if they understood what it is, they still wouldn't want it to be the main thing I do.
But I think it's because they're worried about us, because like so many people were saying this week, to do the podcast is to make this great sacrifice.
Brutal.
And it takes like all of your like life essence to do the podcast. And it is true. You have to go to the place.
Dude, you are talking...
You have to talk for so long.
Isn't Jon Stewart right now advocating for podcasters in front of Congress?
Now that he has solved the 9/11
stuff.
That's
his next task, right?
Yes, and he freed Rosewater.
Yeah.
And now he is a podcaster's rights advocate.
There's a whole fund set up for podcasters who are down on their luck, you know? And I just want to say, actually, thank you to my, a buddy of mine,
John. Friend.
Just for doing that, you know.
John's your friend?
Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
You friends with John?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Definitely.
We
did The Daily Show. Do you know that as well?
Holy shit.
He hosted The Daily Show.
Oh, right. Before it really took off with Trevor Noah.
Before it started cooking with Craig Kilborn.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So we forgot to, we were going to have our friends like leave voicemails for this episode. It was a big episode, 300. You would think that Kevin could also like maybe like spearhead something like that.
Sure.
Paid full-time producer to work on the show.
How much do you get paid that annually?
I brought three pies and the rule is I get to take home one slice today.
That's not the answer to the question.
It actually is.
Oh, it is. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you guys have like a podcast language kind of your own thing.
Yeah.
Right.
That's cool.
And in this case, the pies are symbolic for the actual pies that Kevin brought. And the slice is he gets to take home one slice of pie.
So it's effectively 1/9 of whatever Hayes and I get.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Usually people cut them into 8 slices, but this is a 9 slice, but it's a contractual thing.
And then I guess we divide that by 3, right? Do you get one slice of each pie? No.
Divided by pie. Guys. No?
No, that's great. I mean, that actually gets us right into what we wanted to talk about.
Could get John to leave a voicemail.
I could call him right now.
Yeah.
That would be huge. Please. That would be great.
Actually, it's East Coast time, so I can't.
He's asleep.
He's sleeping. It's 3 hours ahead for where we are, so he sleeps in the early afternoon.
Okay.
He gets up so early to fight for people.
First responders podcasters, and podcasters.
We are, in a way, first responders.
Mm-hmm.
Because we come out at midnight.
Mm-hmm.
And that is way before a firefighter who, like, normally, the firefighter wakes up at midnight, does not happen.
No, firefighters work, everybody knows, 9 to 5.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Your house catches on fire at 6, it's like, bye.
Yeah. See, are you, hopefully it's still on fire at
At 9 when they get up. Yeah. If you're in the house, by the way, say hi to my dad, you know?
Yeah.
Using regular audio, you don't need to use sign language.
Yeah, say hi out loud.
Don't be like, hi.
Don't even wave because he doesn't want that anymore.
Yeah.
Imagine how embarrassing to do sign language and have it.
I know. You'd be like,
hey, buddy, it's cool.
I'm in heaven. We hear now. Okay. Yeah,
I can hear you.
Okay. I can hear you. It is heaven.
All the annoyed deaf people in heaven.
So you did the episode, Yuri. It's Comic-Con happening.
Comic-Con is happening now.
Yeah.
Yes. We did try to go. We were, I guess, not allowed in. I tried to like walk into San Diego and I hit this like invisible.
It's a force field?
Shield?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was actually, what's interesting is I usually think of a force field as I would be like sort of pushed back or I would feel some kind of block. What happened was I walked and as I crossed the city line, I was back in my own bedroom.
Instantly. Oh, wow.
Like, I was transported. So it was almost like a wormhole, I guess. But and I did it 3 or 4 times before I finally just gave up and said, hey, let's just go do this show.
So I understand. You walked to San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
But as soon as we crossed the city.
That I totally
border.
Get.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the portal makes sense, but it's the transport method. So you got back into your bedroom, put on a backpack, walked to San Diego.
Well, sitting's the new smoking.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Right. So, sitting is the new smoking.
Sitting's the new smoking.
Okay, I get that for sure.
Basketball court's the boardroom.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Everything's changing.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? It's all online now.
Well, I guess in a way we're all a brand.
Mm. Whoa.
Right?
Yeah.
Russell's brand.
Yeah. Which is why I'm voting for Kristen Gillibrand for the Democratic. I'm voting Trump in the general, but in the primaries, I'm voting Gillibrand because that's what I want. That's what I want to see.
So it was a year ago that we did this show, and it was at Comic-Con, and it was one of our biggest ones ever. And it's actually the show. So she didn't like to talk about this. This is what got Jordan into podcasting.
Yeah.
So you weren't around then.
You didn't even know about.
No, I didn't. Nope. I didn't know anything about podcasting.
All you knew about was Conan Funko heads, right?
Like, and you Funko went to the show, like many other people in the audience, to get a free Conan Funko Pops.
Funko Pops.
Yes.
Can I tell you guys a story about the Funko Pop, the toys?
Yeah. Please.
You know that I'm straight up destitute and that my comedy career is absolutely going nowhere, right?
It's looked that way. I didn't.
Since the show.
Yeah, that it's you not did been with good. Us.
And what I've seen is I haven't seen you.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and this is sort of what we want to talk about is to say, like, a lot of it was not you.
It wasn't my fault, but it was definitely, I was the one that, you know, got the heaviest consequences. There was a lot of haters online and a lot of, I got doxxed. And
sure.
You guys know the story, but I went from making upwards of $28,000 a year doing comedy, doing what I love. Comedy to me is like therapy, you know?
For
that
me,
is so interesting.
Right?
It's like a church
yes, therapy.
To me, it's like the doctor, but yes.
When I'm on stage, it's like, I don't know if you guys know this.
Comedy's math for me.
Oh, that's really fascinating.
Yes.
Well, you guys don't do stand-up, right?
Well,
so you don't even know.
I mean,
you don't even know.
I definitely could, and I would be good at it right away.
And it would be easier than what I do.
No way. No. Comedy, stand-up comedy is like, I don't even know if you guys know this, but it's the highest form of comedy. Like,
it's just you and you a mic.
And a mic, and you strip away.
And a net, surely, right?
No, there's no net.
There's no net.
That's the whole part of it, is that there isn't a net. It's like doing.
I think I actually have seen a net.
At least you can sort of hide from the truth when you're up there on
you
stage.
You can't. It truth is comedy. Comedy is truth. Like one
Moshe,
axiom,
what?
One axiom of comedy is if you tell the truth about yourself, even if there's no joke connected to it, as long as it's like confessional, that's comedy.
And that's funnier actually than a joke.
Way funnier. Like if I just came up and said like my parents are deaf and one is dead over and over again.
You did say that.
And I was laughing my ass off.
Right.
And jokes suck shit.
Yeah, jokes are the worst.
I would hate to hear a joke. Any kind of craft applied to it is taking me completely out of it. I just actually think you're interesting.
But I was the first guy to get real on stage.
Whoa!
Yeah, people don't know that. Yeah, mm-hmm. I was. Like, I was the first person to just be like, there was a...
And did the police come?
No, I mean... There was some plainclothes people that I assume might have been cops or whatever, but they kind of like they didn't. The thing is,
they kept reaching, sort of.
It felt sketchy, is it time to call it in?
You know,
it felt sketchy. But I got real. I had been trying to do my act and it hadn't been working. And then one day I just looked at the audience and I was like, oh, they're me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me show them who I am.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was making a lot of money doing stand up. Prior to coming on the show.
You were saying like 20.
So when
grand,
they say that you're
28,000.
You said that the audience was you.
Mm.
You are also on vacation going to the comedy store.
Oh, yeah.
Also drunk.
No, I just got engaged. I live in Iowa City and I just got engaged and it actually isn't going to work out. But yeah, but that's me. In a way, right?
Right.
Mm. Is it in a way that's me?
Yeah. Because
it's like, on the other hand, it's like, no, I'm not some bumpkin. I'm like, you know what I mean? I'm a California Jew. It's like,
right.
I'm an educated person. I'm not like from some other place with some wife or fiance. Yeah. I'm not
and
like,
you're up high.
I'm higher.
Talking down.
Yeah. In some way,
people.
I'm like,
and
it's like.
Physically.
Yeah. So in a way, the audience definitely isn't me. Because like,
right.
You know, like, are you fucking kidding me?
But
like,
in another way.
In another way, they're totally me.
Yeah.
And anyway.
You got it.
So I was living my dreams, and I got real, living my dreams.
You made $28,000.
$28K, pre-tax, $28K. And after the show,
you don't have to declare all that either, right?
Sometimes I get paid straight up as cash.
They're throwing coins on stage.
That happens quite a bit, because I'll mention that I'm a Jew, and then the audience always thinks it's funny to like toss them up on stage.
And you're doing a show in the Fountain of the Grove.
That's right. Yeah. I've done it in Rome, too.
So you're effectively getting paid in people's wishes as well.
That's correct.
When you steal the coin, you get to take that with
you. Yeah, yeah. And I found a monkey paw, even on stage. Oh. Yeah.
Interesting. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah. So I'm me, I'm them, I'm
you're them.
I'm like the ultimate
you're
truth
real.
Teller. I'm like a free speech.
It's the truth.
Sort of warrior.
You're sort of a modern day preacher as well.
Absolutely.
I mean, comedians are basically priests, except comedians don't lie.
They don't lie, and the comedy club is a revival tent. I mean, I think we've all made that analogy, right?
Yes.
And it's like being a stand-up comedian, which you guys don't understand in any way, is like there's something so visceral about it, and raw and real, you know? Yeah. Like, did you guys see...
It's actually punk rock, isn't it?
It is. It's the new punk, for sure. Yeah.
Punk rock preacher.
Voting Trump and like being a stand-up.
AMC, those are, basically.
Those are kind of the... Oh, yeah, yeah.
Pretty much.
They should make, honestly, and you guys won't take this, right? This is my idea.
I have to hear it first.
Okay, I trust you. They should make a TV show about what it's like to be a stand-up comedian. That's
I'd love to steal that. I would love to
that. No, it's like, it's like I'm a comedian. I'm trying to make it in the big city.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And how old are you currently and how old are you playing?
There's a disparity. So I'm currently my age, but I'm going to play much older.
Wow.
Right. I'm way older than I am now.
Just starting out.
Starting out, you know, like second
thrice
life.
Divorced.
Just a boy from Iowa City.
Three-time loser with a mic and a big bucket of truth.
That's right. And I'm going to splash it on you. Mm-hmm. Are you in the splash zone? This is the name of the show.
Yeah. The show is called Are You in the Splash Zone? It's a question.
Yeah. Well, fountain comedy. So anyway, you guys aren't going to do that, right?
We might do something that is like very different from that.
That's great. Yeah.
That is like, for example, about a different guy who's not you.
Okay. I love this.
Like you're not in it, for example, which would be like totally different.
Oh, because I'm like a white guy. Like you don't think that you can make a show about me anymore?
No. Well, this would be like a white guy who is like more muscular.
This white guy would be.
Oh, buff.
He's been to the gym.
Buff comedy.
Yeah. I would say like this guy is like tan.
Tan and buff. And
he's ripped and he's hot.
Did he tell the truth?
He's going to have to.
Yeah.
If he wants to get that audience on his side, because he is the audience in a way. But he's also buff. He's ripped.
Stronger than them.
He's stronger. Yeah.
So the audience in a way is buff.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. I mean, they'd love to hear that.
Wow. This is
so I'm connecting to something big. Yeah, I was thinking about doing that show and also a movie too.
Oh, you were already thinking about it before I pitched it to you.
Dude,
he actually mentioned something like this to me
before I got here.
Yeah, because you were kind of late.
I was.
You were a little late, and so we were thinking
we gotta
about
talk
doing
about
a movie.
We have to do something.
You came up with this in the half hour late that I was.
Like, what do you want to do? Just sit here?
Like, what do we wish was on TV?
So if I had come here on time, this still would be kind of totally my intellectual property.
It's I mean, like with the butterfly effect and stuff, it's like impossible to predict these things. Like what actually what happens. But we actually don't. We want to do something else with this show.
Okay.
With this episode.
Then have this conversation?
Yes.
Okay, great.
This we don't want
the
to do.
The stuff
I don't know
brought
why.
To the table, it's interesting. It's maybe the first time a guest has come in with something.
Mm.
And it's actually pretty good.
I hate that it's happening.
But it doesn't
It's not in the format.
Fit.
Okay,
especially for a big landmark episode for us.
I'm backing down.
To just do something totally different that's more in the vein of, I think, what people want.
Sure. Yes. It's a 300. It's a big one. We should be like letting people in to this show, like making it accessible. And so what we're going to do is talk about a show that we did a year ago that most people have not heard, but some people have.
Did you listen to that episode?
I did. Yeah. I listened to it.
Mm-hmm.
You want me to comment on it?
Well, let's listen.
Episode?
We thought we'd go back through it and we do...
Then we'd sort of do a bit of a commentary.
And actually get your side of it, because like you're saying, you have been taking a lot of heat for this, which I think mostly is not fair.
Some part of it
the
is
the last
fair.
Time I saw you,
well,
though.
Well, yeah. You were there. Like, you did say that stuff.
Right, yeah. I did.
The last time I saw you was at a professional engagement, and you were making, we were making 28 Gs, but you were making, I think, $900, and we were doing Punch Up on the film Stuber, and do you know how that... ended up.
I saw it.
Did you?
I saw Stuber at the premiere, no less.
Oh,
wow.
Bautista was there.
Did Sean's stuff get in?
Any of my stuff?
I don't know if any of my or your stuff got in, if I'm being honest.
Sean has told me multiple times about a joke that he pitched in the Stuber project.
What was the joke?
It was partially Dom's pitching. I said, there's no way it's ever going to get in. It was just a funny run that really the room went on, but I think Dom's the one that said that it was when they're going through the crowd, turning everyone around. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes,
they're looking for the criminal in the opening.
Yes, I remember.
And then That somebody goes like, this guy's turning people around. Let's turn him around.
And people start turning him around.
And then people start turning him around, and so he can't get to the criminal.
Did that happen?
Yeah.
It did?
That is in the movie?
Yeah. What do you want from me here? No, the joke didn't make it, okay? Ah, wow. I killed it.
Ah.
No,
you killed it?
Yeah. No, but it was not in... You were very funny in that room, though.
Hey, man, you're always funny in the room, man.
So we're going to go through, we're going to listen to this thing that for us, actually, I mean, and this is what I think is not fair about it. The episode for us has been such a launch pad to doing all these, like for example, like way more punch-up rooms than just that. I don't know how many.
Is that right?
Yeah.
From the episode.
From this, yeah, I mean, I think so. That's what people tell us, is like, this has been so huge for us.
Yes.
And for it to be so devastating for your career, I just think we should dispel some of the myths about what actually went on.
I will say, true story, because as you know, I like to get real. Someone did come up to me after a gig on the road and said, Hollywood Handbook Comic-Con episode, among the community... I guess you guys have a community.
Oh.
It's like, it's a legendary episode.
Wow.
Okay.
That's not a...
He didn't say what the community was.
Your community.
I think he might have said on the commune. There's...
You guys have started
about
a commune.
There's about seven dudes who are all married to each other who live on like a Hollywood Handbook farm.
Oh, that's beautiful.
And it's state like mandated.
Oh, the state is involved with the commune?
In that they have forced these men to live on this. It's basically
so like a field trip to a comedy show like that was monitored. Like there was not a probation officer, but so effectively a probation officer witnessing that interaction.
It wasn't sincere.
They so you were safe.
They had to say that, though. Like that wasn't a sincere thought.
I think
thought.
They like it in a way. It's one of the only things they have access to there. They're obviously not allowed to just roam the web, you know, freely. So
and they weren't allowed to laugh, which actually explains a lot of what you hear on the thing.
On the podcast or at that show that night?
Well, that actually became a podcast.
Oh, wow.
So,
God, you guys are good.
Yeah.
It is hard work.
It's, dude, don't get me started, man. What do you do, like, obviously we're talking about all this career stuff, but, like, what are you into? Forget all the showbiz stuff.
And this like, is actually what we're going. So this is, like, the 300th episode. Episodes 3 to 500 are going to be just, like, getting into people, not what they... do professionally, but just what are you into?
What like, are you like into?
It's actually like,
and what's your hobbies?
It's actually not an easy.
Forget all the stuff that people like you for and would want to hear about.
Right.
Do you read any books or anything?
What's the big hobbies that you have?
It's actually honestly not an easy question to answer because I've been so lost in like.
Oh my goodness.
The quest for my career.
And what are you watching?
Like streaming or terrestrial?
Yes.
I guess I like the James Spader vehicle.
Yes.
Blacklist.
Uh-huh.
Ah. I really like Blacklist.
I'm a criminal.
Yeah. Oh my God, yeah. That's
and
him.
His character Blackerson.
Yeah. Oh, and he's got a whole list of people. So yeah. I like that a lot. Yeah, that's what
that list is still going, huh? God, that list was so much longer than I thought.
Yeah, I like Blacklist. I like movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you guys?
Oh my God. Yes.
Yeah, like
I saw movies.
I have a daughter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That I have not seen.
Yeah, and that's she's on, the bad news is she's on the blacklist. She's on James
Spader. What? Yeah. No, your daughter's on Spader's blacklist.
Yeah, that's which is not easy for us. Not easy.
Wow.
Okay, well, we don't want to burn all this now. Let's listen to the old episode and then we'll talk.
Are you playing it?
Yeah.
It's playing right now. Okay, keep playing the song.
Keep playing.
We have so much to do. We're just
this
gonna
is the
start
beginning.
During
this
the song.
Is too early. Did in you it. Not select clips or anything? Okay. Did you select any like timestamp?
No.
Did I ask you to last week?
No.
Yes, I did.
I thought it was like
Yes, I did.
So this
what
is
we
real.
Talked about.
He
this
may
is
have
real.
Heard. I can understand you saying make some selections for next week to, for him to hear like selections of pie.
Okay, right.
Select three pies.
Because we said we're going to have Moshe come in. We will do commentary on the commentary episode. And Hayes is like, mostly we should be playing the live show and getting his input like on like his experience on stage and everything. But I said, let's pick like one or two spots where we're talking to get his right. input on our input.
And to be fair, what you heard was bring three pies.
Yes.
So that's fair. Just buy three pies from Gelson's. That's what you heard.
Food for less.
Yeah, food for less.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, this is not a Gelson's show. So let's sense. Just find the beginning of the. You will. So you, if you, as you're flipping around in the episode, the sound will suddenly get very bad. Mm-hmm. And then that is the part that we want to actually listen to.
Do reverence like times. Let's pleasure. Thing I say.
And kiss the queen. Kiss the
okay,
queen.
So it's going to be way before this.
So is you it?
Kiss the queen, I remember being like a later part.
Okay.
They're my favorite. And you are experienced times. Let's get into the show. Knowing full well, buddy.
Man has been played exclusively by women.
Okay, it's a little before
here
this.
We go.
It's a little
yes,
before
that's
this.
That's really close.
Buddy and pleasure face.
Sorry, Moshe.
Murders. Sorry to me.
You know, it was all the real.
You guys are popular podcasts, right?
Exclusively by
no. It's a wide spectrum, but I would say no.
Helen of Troy.
Okay, so we're back to the Kiss the Queen moment. We've rediscovered that. And well, now instead of the laptop, we're going to the phone.
It's a little easier on the phone.
Hmm. What level are you really unhappy and uncomfortable right now?
Even
what level?
For you,
11.
Oh, yeah.
Wouldn't it be better to
he loves
pick
comedy.
Out spots?
That's a comedy reference.
That's Spinal Tap, yeah, man.
He's wow. doing it. He's been telling me about this movie.
Oh, you haven't seen Spinal Tap?
No, but it's Kevin loves it.
But I feel
it.
Like I have.
It's really good. Do you know what a documentary is?
Okay. Okay.
You know what one of those is? A documentary.
Okay. Mm.
So this is like a subgenre. It's called it's a mockumentary.
Okay.
So it's like what? Almost sending up the genre of documentary.
What?
Okay. He has been
that'll
calling
never
it.
Work.
Honestly, it you'd be surprised. It's funny.
He has called it a mock-you, rock-you, shock-you documentary.
Wait, why wouldn't he call it a mock-you, shock-you, rock-you-mentary?
And just flipping those two
well, no, because you said
in the order.
He calls it a mock you, shock you, rock you documentary.
But yes.
Part
mock
of
you,
the,
shock you, rock you documentary.
Part yeah. of the whole game is that you get rid of the doc part. And because those words rhyme with doc, you substitute them in.
So I it's don't a, know.
An easier, fun, more fun way would be rock you, shock you, would shock you, drop you. Is that what
well,
said?
He said, well, what Kevin initially said to me was, it's a mock documentary that rocks and
Kevin
shocks
has,
you.
Has okay. pushed his microphone away.
Oh it's a mock documentary that rocks and shocks your world.
Yes, that was what he told me.
Yeah.
And it, actually, that sounded kind of good.
Right. So the director, Christopher Gethard, he did went ahead and combined those words. So it's the so it's the rock you, shock you documentary that'll rock your world. He just went boop, got rid of Doc. It's a mockumentary.
Okay.
And then you could keep going. It's a rock you mockumentary.
That sounds like, okay. To do that, to me, sounds like career suicide.
How's it going over there? And I hate seeing you have such a bad time.
I obviously played
we're
the original.
We're so close. We got to go back a little more. We're going back to the very beginning.
He's going back too much.
But bail I will say the positive is I'm feeling less guilty about being late by the second
yeah. member.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of
like, I felt really bad, and now I feel like I'm regaining
openly,
goodwill.
It does seem like it would have been a good time to find some clips. Right,
the 40 minutes.
So it was a half hour. We were figuring out this movie show thing.
About it's interesting. So quiz. What, Kevin? Let's stop. Do you want to talk about it? Like, so you knew that the idea was to do commentary on it, like even just for you as the person who was going to be pressing play, did you think we would just listen to the entire episode? No way, right? It's like one of our longer episodes.
It is an hour and 20 minutes. Yeah. Making the commentary probably this episode like closer to 2 hours. And
there's no way we were going to do that.
I have a hard out.
And Hayes did have a hard out. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I thought we would listen to the top and then just kind of like see how we felt from there.
And just randomly, and then search around for other stuff?
Yeah.
So I'm kind of a curse to this show, huh?
So, somebody is.
So the people, the things that people have been saying, I am starting to wonder if they were right.
And it was about me being a curse or not.
I mean, you're here. You were here then.
Right.
And you're here now.
Well, I was there then. I'm here now.
Okay.
That was in San Diego.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Something to think about.
And are you allowed back into San Diego?
I walked straight into San Diego last night for the IMDb Pro party.
Oh.
Yeah. And everyone on IMDb was there.
Well, yeah. But well, your star meter had to be at a certain level,
oh, obviously. What's yours?
I'm well, it's lower now than it was a year ago, yeah, obviously, but it's 400.
Wow.
Yeah. 400 stars.
Well, we're talking about Harry's, and it's Clean Harry is here with us again today.
Sort of.
It has been a minute since we've caught up, and it sounds like you have some things that are.
It's just not going good. My mind's just on other stuff, punk.
It's often when we talk about you, it's you're bringing in a lot of things from the outside, from your life. There's just always seems like there's a lot going on.
Well, okay, you know how cats can give you like a sort of disease that makes you like cats?
Yes. Yeah.
I have it. Punk.
You have the disease that comes from their litter. Do you have cats?
I will soon now because
of
this.
So you don't have cats?
No, but I'm Clean Harry, so I'm always cleaning things up. Anytime I go to someone's house with cats, I'm like, I'll clean that up.
You scoop the cat litter.
I get way in there, you know, to clean.
And so you did that from cleaning the cat litter at your friend's house. So you're going and seeing your friends.
Well, and I would go and take a big whiff after to be like, did I do a good enough scoop that it, like, there's no, like, scent left?
Okay.
And I think I just... guess I inhaled the cat disease that like makes your brain like want to have more cats.
It's called toxoplasmosis. And so you know that you have this and
Gesundheit.
That doesn't sound like a sneeze at all. That sounded like a sneeze to you. That's what a sneeze sounds like.
I'm just trying to bring some lightness to what has been a very heavy week for me. I just found out I have toxoplasmosis, for goodness sake. Gesundheit. Bonk.
Harry saw customers getting screwed over by questionable overpriced shaving products and decided to do something better. Instead of charging the same stupid high prices, Harry's found their own way to make beautifully designed razors for a fraction of the price of other big brands. Exceptional products, honest prices. That's Harry's. So are you going to get, I'm just like, so you're going to get some cats.
Right from here, yeah. Going to get cats, yeah. Okay.
The shaving products, deodorant, lotion, body wash, hair gel, it's not just shaving, but they do have shaving stuff. German engineer blades made in their own factory that stay sharp longer. You can get a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and a travel cover for just $3 at harrys.com/theboys. Getting ripped off isn't funny. How many cats are you going to get?
6 or 7. Well, actually... 6 to start, but if I get 7, I'll probably get 8 because they're sisters. The other ones.
Which other ones?
The other ones that I'm not getting today, I don't think.
Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/theboys. That's harrys.com/theboys for a $3 trial set.
Hey, word to the wise, smell Harry's shampoo and stuff. Don't smell a litter box. Looking for the perfect gift to celebrate moms in your life and to trip their ass out?
freak them out, make them feel like they're sipping some wavy gravy, check out this idea I just had. Aura Frames are beautiful Wi-Fi connected digital picture frames that allow you to share and display unlimited photos. It's super easy to upload and share photos via the Aura app. And if you're giving one as a gift, you can personalize the frame with preloaded photos, which I did. And the photos that I preloaded are a photo of an Aura frame inside the Aura frame. And inside that one, there's a photo of an Aura frame with a photo. So I uploaded this. So basically, when mom opens the gift, she's going to be sucked into the world of M.C. Escher and forever lost on some magnificent journey of the mind. And it's like, this is more than a gift. It's an experience. Aura frames, thanks for freaking my bean, please.
Oh, no. Like, my mom's a square. She doesn't like to trip out, get freaky like that. Bro, you have no idea.
I hate to tell you, mama had a whole life before she had you, pal.
Yes.
No. Mom gets freaky with it. So I think, you know, grandmothers, new mothers. Oh, wait, grandma, she would never be able to do this. Your grandma, brother. Your grandma does drugs, okay? So for grandmas, moms, aunts, even friends, but less so them, more grandma, everyone loves an Aura frame. Freak their damn bean with the frame inside the frame inside the frame. It's infinity. It's everything. It's the universe in a single gift. There's no greater gift. They're guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages and to send them questioning the very nature of existence. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Listeners can save on the perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code THEBOYS at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, did you guys know nearly 75% of people have subscriptions they've forgotten about? Before I started using Rocket Money, I thought I had about like maybe 3-4 subscriptions. I couldn't believe it when they showed me I was paying for 5 million subscriptions every month between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, just never ending. I had subscribed with the police for a permit to smoke trees. This was many years ago. I mean, like, I barely used it. I haven't smoked trees in like in many, many years. And they make it so hard to cancel. You have to go to the police station. They're like, you sure? Sure would be nice to like smoke down a big ass tree right now. And like they just make it seem more appealing than it actually is. Thanks to Rocket Money, I'm no longer wasting money on that subscription, any other. They went down to the police station for me. They talked to the chief. Like, they make it so easy. They find and cancel your unwanted subscriptions. They monitor your spending, help you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. You have full control over your subscriptions, a clear view of your expenses. They're all in one place. Over 5 million users. They've saved a total of 500 million in canceled subscriptions because, yeah, I mean, each one, just like do the math. I had 5 million. Each would cost $100. Saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/theboys. That's rocketmoney.com/theboys. rocketmoney.com/theboys.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient. Comfortable. Ah.
Okay, I think I found the beginning.
Yeah. And talk about that.
And it was, the energy in the room was such a big part.
I just want to let him listen.
Go ahead.
Okay, here we go. This is the beginning. We're starting.
So, I was with Harley Quinn.
Yeah.
And Amy. Tim.
Yes.
And we were doing a jigsaw puzzle.
Okay. That's hard.
Oh, yeah.
Much harder.
Yeah, and so it's only you're only going by shape.
Yeah.
You know that.
Yeah.
And at a certain point, I just decide, let's not do this anymore.
Just quit.
Yeah, we'll just quit.
Yeah, right. Let's just move on and do the show.
Let's just do the show.
Let's do the show. Hey, welcome to Hollywood.
So, okay, pause it. So what is going on for you in this moment?
When I'm watching you guys do that intro?
Yes. Where are you? Like, set the scene. Like, what are you seeing? What are you hearing? What is going through your head?
Well, for me, it's so refreshing to hear. I just got to say, having done the Duke Bush's Baked Beans story today and being like, this one's not that good. But then to hear what a bad one really sounds like.
For me, it's pre-show.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously in the green room, like, shadowboxing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm getting ready to go on stage. Mm-hmm. And there's nothing up there for me, but... You know, the energy of the crowd. And
did you have to poop like Creed?
What's that? Oh, to poop? No, that's
not.
That's
he poops. We can talk about this a little bit. You are a sharpened blade when you take the stage.
Absolutely.
And you slice through the audience.
I slice and dice like, and my styles are nice.
Mm.
Right? So that's my motto.
And
that's
I don't know if you...
That's my creed.
You probably don't even realize you're doing this. That rhymed.
What did?
Okay. This is what I suspected. When you get in the zone, and I sort of summoned stage Moshe in a way saying this, you said you slice and dice, and then you mentioned that your styles are nice.
Oh, my God.
And it actually connects.
You're so...
Two of the words and then a third one.
It's like hearing you say it back to me. I'm like, wow, that rhymes and that sounds like the best, sort of most sophisticated rap I've ever heard.
Yeah.
But saying it, it just came out like butter.
And can I say, I love that your dad is hearing this.
Of course.
You know?
He's actually able to... He's hearing the recording. He's not hearing the... episode you release.
He hears as we, he has like early access. Mm-hmm. That should honestly be like a premium tier thing.
No, they have the Patreon actually is run in heaven.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, we should probably be, we should be making your dad pay for this stuff. Like it's that.
Oh,
like,
he paid. Yeah, come on. He was deaf his whole life. Think about it.
Okay. But I didn't see anything from that.
So when you guys were on stage, what do you want from me? How did I feel about you, how you guys were doing?
Yeah, you're watching this happen.
What are you thinking you're going to walk into, basically?
Well, I knew the show, obviously. It's a huge show.
Oh, God.
I knew that you guys felt nervous about what was about to happen. You guys mentioned it in the green room. And I was like... You know, I'm jabbing.
Well, yeah, hooking. You're like getting really close to my face.
You're doing these 15 punch combinations that are like whizzing past my ear.
So you say we're nervous. I assume obviously it's because I'm of the moves
you're
I'm doing.
You're almost punching me.
Yeah, and I'm like, you guys remember I was like, don't worry. The only people I knock out is the audience. Mm. You remember?
I remember you saying yourself. That. Yeah.
You were so impressed with, is myself.
You're knocking out yourself.
In a weird way, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But you guys do remember were nervous because you didn't know if anybody knew who you were in the audience. That's fair. And then you took the stage to tell.
That's so funny. I don't remember feeling that.
Yeah. You guys took to the stage to tell a sort of whimsical, a game, I guess.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it seemed to me that you felt that your fears were confirmed in that moment.
Was I thinking that? It's interesting because, when you're really listening and again, listening now and listening at the time, I realized that in telling that whimsical story, as you so kindly described it, I am sort of pausing for laughter without having said any kind of joke. And then in the vacuum created by the lack of laughter, I'm mad at them. I guess I think it's impolite. But if I put myself in their shoes, totally fair.
I'm listening to this on better headphones than I have in the past, and there's one moment where someone like scoots their chair. It's one of the loudest chair scoots that I've ever heard.
Well, do you have another clip that you want to play? I didn't mean to take over hosting the show, but
let them off the hook, and we'll explain a little bit about ourselves.
About our deal. Sean and I, this is Sean. I'm
Sean,
Hayes.
That's Hayes.
We have done Hollywood.
Uh-huh.
Basically.
The whole...
Pretty much all of it.
The whole shebang.
We, what would we be best known for like a Comic-Con crowd? Well, for me... I obviously played the original, in the original series, Mrs. Batman.
Stop it.
Jordan, if only you had been there. Or I guess you were, but if only you understood what was happening then in a way that you have figured out since.
Yes. I would have been laughing the whole episode.
Yes, it was a journey of curiosity.
That was Jordan in the studio.
No,
there was a little laugh
on Mrs. Batman?
Yeah.
No, not on Mrs.
Batman.
Not on Mrs. Batman.
Yeah,
no,
right.
There was a laugh on us saying we had done Hollywood.
We had done Hollywood.
The least jokey thing that we were saying. I feel bad, Moshe, because you sort of fed me that.
I did give you that
concept,
line. Yeah,
in the green room to make me less nervous,
right?
And it did work because I'm like, oh, good, I'm sitting on Mrs. Batman.
I said, I do remember that. I was punching, and I said, you know what always works with these yahoos, right?
Yeah, these are like comic dorks. Say you're Mrs. Batman,
and I did like a long act out of like the way that dorks act, you know, it's all like,
yeah,
you know, and I was like pushing my glasses up,
yeah.
And I said, all you got to do, take a popular franchise from a comic book film and then make it about the spouse of that hero, which has literally always worked for me.
And so, what do you think it was?
Delivery, definitely delivery.
Okay. And in listening back, even I am going, wow, when Moshe did this, it was so fucking funny in the green room. I'm pissing myself in the green room
because
I'm looking for a new set of freaking chinos after that. You did that bit.
There are certain voice patterns to let the audience know that was a joke.
And is it? Know? Yeah, is one of the voice patterns that they like a sort of quavering, weaselly neediness.
That's because
someone
you know who I am.
Someone who is scared of their own fear, if that makes sense.
Yeah. That is a technique in what we call alternative comedy.
Ah.
Right?
Tell me about this.
Alternative comedy, a lot of people have say it's almost a alternative to comedy. Mm. I'm a club guy. You know, that's me. So I tell jokes. Mm-hmm. So I would have said, you might remember me from the popular movie franchise, Mrs. Batman. And that uptick, that Batman.
Suck my fucking brujol.
Yeah. Batman. Yeah. Then the audience is like,
Batman.
Oh, end of joke. Pew, pew, pew. End of the joke. Yeah. And then they would just.
And you're like squatting or like doing.
Or, yes. Doing a squat or
humping the stool.
Yeah. Mrs. Batman. Oh, Bruce Wayne. Oh, you know what I mean? I'll start fucking it like it's Bruce Wayne or something like that. And I'm like, oh, Albert, could you get me a spot OT?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Kind of a thing. Albert, isn't that that's the name of the butler, right?
Albert. Yeah.
Albert. Yeah.
Albred.
Yeah. So that's what I would have done. But I mean,
that's so funny.
It's different, you know?
Yeah.
That, but, I think, would have worked.
Yeah.
Like, when you were doing that in the green room, man, I was like checking my chinos for fucking wet spots.
For jizz.
Yeah. And also, also blasting off. Yeah.
Pee-pee.
And from,
Batman kind of thing.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Shit,
oh,
man.
Oh, boy.
Okay, let's hear another part.
We were thinking, people might not know who we are. Yeah. Let's do almost what we did in the very first episode of our podcast.
Oh, this is the
do these kind of
very next moment?
Well, quick, you know.
I wonder if we want to, like, even get to, like, Moshe or something.
That would be great.
So I'll just talk again about part of what's going on is, like, Kevin got up and left the room for a while.
A substantial period of time.
Yeah, I got into the other part of the studio, and I thought maybe that was so he could, like, find specific moments not be sitting right next to us.
I think it was more about just not being in the room anymore.
It did seem, though, to your credit, like he was like, all right, let's go. Played that first clip and then was like, all right, clip number two. But it was the moment after clip number one.
It was like situation handled. Yeah. And then I thought like, and now he's going to play like a relevant clip. But it just was playing this from the exact moment we stopped.
Mm-hmm. I do want to hear when Moshe first shows up, because that was sort of like a crossroads for you. You
must, for my career, for my
think
life.
Think back of like things you could have done instead of in that moment of instead of appearing on stage.
No, you're right. I mean,
you could look at like the floor plan of the studio, and like there were like other routes you could have taken.
Well, yeah, and I'll never forget it, because there was actually a Passenger 57 cast reunion panel happening at the same time that I obviously really wanted to go to.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh no, you know, these are good guys, you know, this is this is a popular podcast, the whole crowd is going to know who they are. Mm-hmm. I'm not gonna. So I did think about that.
You still have questions that you didn't get to ask.
That's right.
At the panel.
Who's Passenger 58?
Yeah, like, what is this? Is this a movie?
What was prison like, Wesley? Like, a lot of different. Okay. Wesley Snipes.
Also, like, star. It's.
Oh, so it is a movie.
Passenger 57, yeah.
It was.
You're right.
It was.
Right, it was.
It's not anymore.
Yeah, no, it stopped.
Because the passenger, that's interesting. Did they used to, every passenger had their own number? Because what I think is, like, it's an aisle. Like, it would be now, like, passenger 13A.
Right, but this was a very big plane, but with only one chair per row.
Okay.
So it's very, very long.
Long, who's in the 50,
who were cast members, row? Like, 2 through 6 that you wanted to see at the cast reunion?
What is this? Doug Loves Movies?
He's fucking the table. He's humping the
what are
table.
We? Oh, what are we? What are we
Holy
over here?
Shit. We had Doug on.
Yeah.
Transparency. Well, translucency. And
yeah.
And letting people inside the chuckle. Show business process. And so what we want to do is, kind of as a treat, we're going to bring up our friend who writes with us, and we are all going to break the story on stage.
All right, so let's bring out our friend, Moshe Kasher.
Moshe!
Oh, you,
Moshe,
this was real. Please. Now, this was a fun area for me. Now, if you want to know what I was thinking at this moment, I do remember what I was thinking at this moment particularly. I remember this one clearly, which is, that's not how you pronounce my name. Yeah. But then I thought, it must have been a game.
It's the kind of thing we would do as a joke.
Right, but I don't, you said it correctly.
Yeah.
So that
I had met you before.
That's what made me doubt that it was a joke, because you immediately stepped in this way that I've seen before, which is to try to fix the error.
So I betrayed Hayes in a way.
But what about after
I should have doubled down on the mispronunciation.
What about
Moshe
Batman?
Yeah.
What about after that when I said Moshe though?
Oh, that was nice, because that's my stage name.
Is it weird that people are now calling you Moshe?
Well, that's been a big problem. It's been hard to make a living because people don't know who I am anymore. Mm-hmm. I say my name and they say who. And then I'll say Moshe. They go, oh, Hollywood Handbook episode 299.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's right.
So that there was a branding issue that definitely happened.
I was thinking about your name a little bit today. And that when we recorded this episode, and even you agreeing to do this next one with us, that it was so kind and that you were such a sweetie. And then I was singing Sweetie Moshe. To the tune of Sweet Emotion by Aerosmith, just to myself around the office.
Oh, that's...
You ever do that?
About my own name, or just sing other people's names into the Sweet Emotions?
Sweet Emotion.
Or you would, as you would sing
Sweet
it.
Emoshi.
Sweet Emoshi. Yeah. It's a different tune.
Yeah.
I like that.
Moshe is cool. With a little accent.
That's better.
Well...
That's better. No... offense.
No, none taken. It's not important to me. It's only my identity. But I do.
Moshe
I
will, Cashier.
I will. I would. I guess change my name.
Yeah.
To that.
It's just a one little line. This is a little. Just a little. This little mark.
It just feels like it changes who I am. Mm. I go from like.
But don't you want to do that?
Yeah, right.
Is who you are working out?
Well, I love
that. To me, is the pitch.
Well, I love the audience. And I am the audience.
Moshe Cashier makes 28 G's.
Oh, again, back in business.
I'm just saying.
I'll think about it.
Do we have a new part?
I don't know how much we can say. We've written all these fucking movies.
Yeah. Yeah.
We've written every single one.
I mean, I won't say that you created the character Spider-Man, but I won't not say that you didn't.
Well, just from the way I was jumping around.
Right.
A little trickle basically. Of laughter. That wasn't bad.
I mean, that was you, the thing.
On like a bell curve, you destroy in this episode.
I mean, no. You want my real thoughts on this episode? I was going to wait till the end, but I'm not. Are we going to?
We're probably pretty close.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I honestly, and now this is sincere. I, as a stand-up comedian, the highest form of comedy, I thought it was a sort of a masterclass in watching an audience not know what was happening and then get swept up into the psychic current of what they were witnessing. Like, they were, yes, confused at the beginning because they had no context for what they were watching. By the end of the thing, and I had a good time, but you guys were very funny too. By the end of the thing, they were hysterical. I felt it was a huge, I felt it was a bigger success than a show that where everybody knew you and was laughing the whole time at your jokes. It was a group of cold strangers going, oh, this bizarre thing that we're witnessing is like magical and happening before us. I was very impressed.
Me too.
I do That's remember
exactly what I've been saying.
And I was curious doing this that we were like, hey, sorry, that was such a disaster. And you immediately were like, I thought it went pretty well.
I did. I really did because I've had that.
But I hadn't heard this explanation of it because, of course, I went like, what do stand-up shows sound like?
Well, no. As a stand-up, sometimes it's very – when you kill in front of a hot crowd where everybody's killing, that's a great feeling because you're just like, I killed. Your ego has been satisfied. But when you find a way to wrestle a terrible audience into your – sort of frequency of comedy, and by the end you've gotten them
getting a lukewarm reaction from an ice cold audience is more satisfying.
You just feel like more of a master. You feel like, oh, I did the impossible rather than I did what everybody else did tonight. I did the impossible, and that's how that felt. And by the way, I'll never forget when I pulled that last card.
Oh yeah, yes.
That was a great feeling.
That was cool.
That would be a good clip to have, but I just there's absolutely no way.
Moments like that, yeah, isolated moments from the show that we would almost certainly reference. When did we first plan on doing this? Like getting Moshe? Like how long has he been booked for?
I will say it's been a while.
It's been a couple weeks.
It's been longer than that.
Sorry.
I guess
I feel really bad.
You feel bad. I feel bad. Would you say I'm the two, like, I'm a disaster.
Two most unsuccessful, concept executions we've ever done?
Yeah, that's kind of like, how am I supposed
Not
to
even close. You're giving yourself way too much credit. The fact that the last one was live. Kevin, please don't feel that bad. If you had done the
thing perfect homage
that we directly asked you to do, it would not be Hollywood Handbook. It wouldn't.
No.
It wouldn't be our show. If we, in a clean way, just like played like selected clips that were the right length and then we commented on them, what is that?
Well,
that's not our fucking show. What are we reacting to then?
To his credit, when I got the booking email, it did sort of lay out what we were going to do today.
Mm. Uh-huh.
And it did specifically say, you're going to be about 40 minutes late. You've got a nice cushion, right?
He knew, Kevin.
And then we're going to do some commentary on the episode you did. But the kind of meta joke is we're going to play about three clips from the very, very, very beginning where you haven't been introduced. We'll do one joke from you and then we'll kind of give up.
And we'll hear me like scrolling through the episode trying to find it. Like that'll be on my Kevin. That's really nice.
Yeah, I thought that's what we were doing.
Kevin, you understand the show better than I do. I mean, that's what I'm learning.
Yes. Thank you, everyone.
So I expected this.
Wouldn't you think that since we had such a build during the show last year that they would bring us back this year? And we'd be starting at where we ended last year's show.
The same audience would be there ready for
it. By like year six of doing it, I think we'd be getting genuine laughs.
Yeah. But we didn't hear anything about it. No,
that was strange.
Right? That's so weird.
I wonder if they just don't have my email.
I got an idea for you guys. Can I pitch something to you?
Hey, man. No way.
Okay.
No, go ahead. Do it.
Well, it's just it's a.
We'll cut this, but
do it. It's a show about an old kind of stuck in his ways racist guy who's dealing with a changing world.
Okay.
Right?
Yep.
And it's like an older guy kind of working at the factory. Okay. No, but this is a real pitch. Ready? Because when I listen to the episode back, I listen to every podcast episode I'm on, just, you know, because it's just like, obviously, I want to hear a master at work.
Yeah.
But I was a little surprised that you guys did the meta commentary thing. And it was very funny what you did, but I was disappointed because I was so enamored of the magical.
The pure version.
The pure version of going from like, huh, to. Ha.
And we cut all your good stuff.
That's right. That bothered me, definitely.
From huh to ha. Wow.
So maybe you should release, this is just a pitch, maybe release the unedited audio of that episode.
As an extra.
As an extra.
In the feed, like we'll release this episode as our 300th episode, and then episode, you know, 300A.
Is the uncut.
It's just the uncut Comic-Con with no
commentary.
Yeah. It's the studio cut, really.
Mm-hmm. Right, the director's edition.
And maybe that's only on premium.
That should be, it should be harder to get to.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, because you don't want a lot of people to hear it.
Yeah. Yes, but yes, that could be released on premium as like a pro version or something.
That's a good idea. More guests should like pitch have ideas. Pitches about like
the guy.
How we could do the show. And,
this is like, why I love being in a punch-up room with this right? guy.
Turn him around, you know? Put that in there somehow.
It made me laugh when we were talking about it. That joke is still available. It was a Simpsons joke. I mean, it would never be in a movie, but it was very funny to me.
I saw the movie, and I never had the feeling of, I said that. I never got
there that. There was not any bits that you remembered. But Kumail didn't say to you, we used this thing. He didn't? Mm-hmm. Okay, yeah. Because I had one joke that got, like,
you saw
an
it.
Area of a joke, not in Stuber, which I haven't seen yet, but, like, I went on a whole run that I think they used, like, one-tenth of as, like, a reference in Big Sick. And then every time I saw him for, like, a year, he'd be like, hey, that thing you pitched. Uh-huh. And I was like, whoa, this is so nice. He's isolated this one thing that he associates. So it feels like if he didn't do that, then they probably didn't use anything.
Oh, if he didn't give
if he
you the
didn't
finger
say,
gun and say, you got
say
it.
Like, hey, that thing went really well. Like, we tested the screening the other day, and that one thing you said was the best part, which you know it wasn't, but it's like.
I have found that when I do punch up in action comedies, that most of the time the jokes don't get there because the act. Like what happens when they film the movie is they just go, more action. So I think that's.
Well, they go. We filmed all this like them stopping down to make little quips during the action. And it's so fucking stupid. It completely removes the stakes because like they're like running and there's like a gunshot over them. And then we have this like funny little pithy like snide run that Moshe and Sean were riffing in the room and it doesn't work at all.
Did I stay to the end of the credits to see if we got special thanks for the premiere? I tried. But I was made fun of.
The credits were too long?
Yeah, I was being made fun of, and I felt embarrassed,
by your
and
daughter.
So I left. Yeah, my daughter was there, and that was the last day I saw her, actually, because she got taken out by James Spader.
No.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah. They finally got to her on the list. Well,
I wasn't invited to any of these things. Moshe, what are you doing to try and fix all this?
Fix the wreckage that
mess.
Episode did.
Yeah.
Well, I'm doing the hardest thing there is to do. Actually,
you do podcast. Moshe.
I just launched.
Moshe, you do podcast?
Well, I just launched a podcast.
Oh, Moshe, I'm sorry.
Yeah, no, it's
and I can see it in your face is very drawn.
I'm gaunt for sure. Mm-hmm. I mean, the beautiful part is I do it with my wife, Natasha Leggero.
That's so beautiful.
And so we get to like That's sort of so suffer beautiful. Together or whatever.
Wife,
since our daughter
wife podcast.
Was taken out by Spader, it's like it is our baby. And it's called the Endless Honeymoon Podcast. And we give relationship advice, live relationship advice, you know, a la Dr. Drew kind of a thing. But we also make fun of people. And then we hear people's deep, dark secrets on our secrets hotline. So,
you do podcast.
Yeah, I do a podcast. It's not been easy, but it's been fun. And can I read the hotline?
It can be rewarding.
Can I give your listeners the hotline?
Yeah, them to call the secret line.
Just play a whole episode off your phone.
Honestly, would you guys stick around for me?
Kevin,
to play?
You got clips of his thing?
That would be very funny if you had selected clips for mine. But listen, 213-222-8608. You can leave your deepest, darkest secret and we'll play it, get it off your chest. Or you can call and we'll call you and give you relationship advice. You can make an appointment for a therapeutic roast session.
Oh, wow.
So I'm a podcaster now.
You ever have guests on there?
Yeah, we have guests on there. You guys want to come on? Nope.
Not me, but...
How? Why did you ask? Why ask about guests? I mean, that felt like a cue.
I would do it.
Okay.
I'd love to.
Yeah, all right.
I want to do it.
It doesn't feel like you guys do, but I would.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask.
All right.
We'll see what happens.
Okay.
And we'll see if our producer can kind of step to the plate with a little bit more savvy and gusto.
This is an independent podcast?
No, it's on something called Cloud 10.
I've heard of this.
Yeah.
Yes, Cloud that's the 10. Superstore. That's people. Where the Superstore people work.
That's right, isn't it?
Yeah.
Well, they actually launched a podcast network, the store from Superstore.
The store from Superstore.
Oh. Super Meta. Wow. Super Meta. Yeah.
So you're in there with, Ben the guy Feldman. From Mad Men and, America Ferrera.
Yeah, America Ferrera, the guys from Mad Men.
Mark McKinney.
Nico Santos,
Lauren Ash, and Colton Dunn.
Just a lot of great people on the podcast every week. And you know what? Podcasting for my money, easiest money I've ever made in my life.
Bye.
Hollywood Handbook. That was a HeadGum podcast.